our call to worship. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has brought us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Our opening hymn, number 72. Turning to the back of the hymnal where our responsive readings are found, let us find number 634 entitled, "The Desert Shall Rejoice." The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom, like the crocus it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, God will come. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like the hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Our affirmation of faith is found at the back of our hymnal. It is number 738, the Apostles' Creed. Let us unite in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And this is the inward witness of resurrection, that not only Christ Jesus is risen from the dead, but that we feel within our hearts that we are renewed, that we have died to self and sin to come alive forever to righteousness. The first fruit of eternal resurrection is a rebirth within. Let us turn to our unison prayer. Let us pray. O God, we consecrate ourselves anew to thee this Easter day. Replace our waning allegiances with renewed loyalty to thy church and renewed gladness in thy service. Fill us with the spirit of reverence and humility, that we may speak and sing thy faith with sincerity. For we pray in the spirit of thy risen Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
There is more to life than what meets the eye, and that is an understatement. There is more to life than what meets the eye. We've just come through a prolonged period of very cloudy weather, and I'm sure some of us wondered if the sun would ever shine again. Certainly, we are blessed today with a very sunshiny day. But even last week, when it was cloudy, it's good to recall that even above those clouds, the sun was shining. And that even though tonight in its starlit darkness, the sun will still be shining. Sometimes because we do not see something, we think it's not there. Before I show the series of Lenten films during March and the beginning of April, I usually preview them on Sunday afternoon. I learned two lessons from that projector during the previewing on Sunday afternoon. The first lesson was this, that it's difficult to see and preview a film in a church that's full of sunlight. I thought at first maybe the projector was broken, the bulb might have burned out, and I found out that the problem was not with the projector, but with my seeing what was there. I learned from that experience that even though I could not see, the picture was there. The projector taught me a second lesson. As I sat watching the film unreel from one reel and go around the other, take up on the other, I knew that these reels were like wheels and they had spokes. But as the reels turned, I could actually look through those reels as if there were no spokes at all. Again, I learned the lesson that there is something there even though I do not see it. Easter is a time when we celebrate our belief that the unseen part of us, our soul, is very, very real. And that when the seen part of us dies and disappears, decays, the unseen still remains real and alive. There is more to life than meets the eye.
Oh.
The scripture is taken from the Gospel of John, portions of the 17th chapter. Jesus saying, I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto those that you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. May God speak to us of the intent of this reading. Let us turn to our versicle. O Lord, show mercy upon us and grant us thy salvation. O God, may clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, Holy Will, use me. Spirit of the living God,
let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to thee for the strong hope that we find in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We thank you for this example of the triumph of the faithful. We give thee our thanks for your great faithfulness to us as you help us to mold and make the soul that is within us, and that you treasure this soul, bringing it at length to thy eternal care. Help us, we pray, to see the great worth within us. We thank you, our Father, for the challenges of life, the challenges that bring the best out of us. Forgive us where we have neglected to assume these challenges, where we have turned our faces away from chances and opportunities. We are grateful again, our Father, that you do challenge us, for you see within us talent that we ourselves might have overlooked. We give thee our thanks for this time when families are brought together, for those who have even left our community to be united with their families away from here. Be with them in their traveling. Be with them in the churches they attend. And may there be a sense of worship around the holiday table. We ask our Father that our homes and tables may be places of rejoicing. May we see a deep hope as we watch individuals mature, as we see character, as we see spirit molded. We ask our Father that you will make us aware that we have an influence upon one another. Help us to be the best influence possible. We thank you for your influence upon us in the best way possible, the highest example, Jesus Christ himself. Now be with us during this time of worship. Be with those deeply embedded in our memory. For those whose lives have made us what we are, who have sacrificed much for us, and may we, in gratitude, do the same to generations present and generations to come. Now, our Father, bless the ministry of this congregation within this community, as we have received from other generations who have made this room of worship possible. Yea, for all the saints who from their labors rest, we would give thee our thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Such a special time and brings families together and people that have been away in different communities coming back and being a part of a family community and a church family community, and it gives a congregation great pride to see our young people as they grow and to see the way God is blessed. We thank the Chilcote family, Catherine and Bill, and their two of the three children, Susan and Richard, for being our greeters today. As you see, our church is so handsomely decorated by memorial flowers. And certainly, from the beginning of time, perennial flowers have been a symbol of resurrection. Our altar flowers are given by Floyd Parmley in memory of loved ones. Easter lilies given in memory of loved ones by Mary T. Barnett, Susan H. Bowman, Evelyn E. Dan, Christiane H. Estabrook, Franklin and Marion Haberle, Phyllis Jopp, Leo and Fran Lemoyne, Paul and Janet Moss, Howard and Francis McKee, Marjorie McGlory, Thomas and Ellen Nelson, Benjamin Sanford, and Bill and Mary Spring. And Lily is given in memory of individuals, Harry Ebolini, the Bradley family, members of the Bowman family, members of the Cobb and Taylor families, in memory of Marion Costa, Ethel and Roland Dan, James Falloon, Charles A. Fitz Jr., Beatrice E. Fenn, Betty M. Fransport, Elsa Garrison, Mr. and Mrs. Harrison H. Henry, Mr. and Mrs. Grove Leffingwell Sr. and Grove Jr., Mabel Lipsy, Claude and Grace Marks, Florence Crippen Miller, the families of Mr. and Mrs. Darwin K. Miller, Jesse D. Saunders and Russell D. Saunders, Thornton Secor, Raymond Silvanale, Harold M. Smith, Mr. and Mrs. H. H. Tuyun, Richard E. Williams, and Louise Heaton and Olive Telliday. May the names and souls of the faithful be blessed eternally. This morning, our Sunday school not only had a short class meeting, but also had a film shown, the film entitled Cross Currents. There was a nursery for preschool children during the sermon portion. We certainly thank those who have arranged today's flowers, as well as those who have donated today's flowers.
Our women will have a reprieve. Rotary will not meet at the church on Tuesday. Our facilities will be used Wednesday as usual by AA and Al-Anon. Friday, our facilities will be used by the Daughters of the American Revolution. Certainly many thanks to our young people who conducted a 7 a.m. service this morning at the Town Grove. And many thanks to our organists and choir members for the many hours of preparation and performance that are part of our Lenten, Holy Week, Easter season. Again, we welcome families who are united during this holiday season. And our prayers are for those that are in the hospital, particularly for Robert Shaw. We ask our guests to remember there is a guest register in the foyer of our church. Please take the opportunity to sign this. God has blessed us in so many ways. But one of the greatest blessings is the hope that he gives us, that death does not end at all, that there is life and hope and a God who loves. May this be our Easter affirmation as we present our offerings. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, for what we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Stand for the doxology.
Praise God from all glad sea.
our hymn number 445. Who celebrated the first Easter in the Americas? Who celebrated the first Easter in the Americas? We often accredit the monks and priests that accompanied Christopher Columbus as the first people to bring Christianity to the continents of the Americas. But those of us who are intrigued by pre-Columbian American history hope that through archaeological digs now in process in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia and along our own New England coasts, that increasing evidence will be unearthed about the extent of Viking settlements on our American continent, possibly as early as 985. Eric the Red, in the summer of 986, led a great convoy of 25 ships from Iceland to Greenland, there to colonize that island. It is said that not only were there sailors and women and families, but there were horses and sheep and weapons and food. They were there to colonize. The Greenland colony, at its peak, before it mysteriously disappeared sometime after 1408, constituted 300 farms, 16 churches, 2 monasteries, and a population of perhaps 4,000 people. Eric, its founder, was a pagan. His wife and his son, Leif, were Christian. It was Leif, Eric's son, who with 35 others reached the shores of Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and explored our New England coast probably about the year 1000, or 500 years before Christianity carried by Columbus touched the Caribbean West Indies. Many pioneers have found themselves strangers in an unfamiliar land. Imagine yourself trying to colonize a new land. How very important it would be to keep the line of contact open between you and your homeland. How important it is to feel that you are not just being dumped in some unknown place and forgotten without a sovereign king or a sovereign power of a nation, knowing that you are there to represent them. As you know, the Viking colony did not succeed. It did not establish itself, or it did not establish its religion in Greenland or in our American continent. And that sometime, as I said, after 1408, the colony in Greenland disappeared with no recorded trace. But initial colonization is always a hint of what is to come. God has wanted to establish his colony among mankind. He has sent us many a spokesman. We call them prophets, we call them wise men, but we have not listened. We have resisted the coming of his kingdom. Recall the words of Jesus that were addressed to the people in Jerusalem, but also addressed to all others, including 20th century America. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that I have sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. The sense of community, the sense of kingdom of unity. In our Lord's Prayer, we pray that thy kingdom come. When we feel ourselves in the clutches of our enemy, we even pray that prayer more desperately, thy kingdom come. We do not want to feel that we are just a remnant, a small colony, deserted and forgotten by the power that sent us, and now left to the hands of the enemy. But whether you and I like it or not, our decision to be Christian made us a remnant. Our decision to become a Christian made us a remnant. It makes us strangers in a foreign land, for we are a church, and the church is a colony of heaven on earth. The church is a colony of heaven on earth. We witness to a sovereign power whose kingdom we represent. Although our colony may even be defeated, we represent a homeland, we represent a king that is never defeated. With this in mind, I feel we can grasp all the better the meaning of Jesus' prayer for the colonists, the people he has left behind. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. As you have sent me, so I have sent them. Neither do I pray for them alone, but for those to come that will believe on me because of them. We see that we are God's emissaries. As representatives and colonists of another kingdom, we are to be willing to stand against the surge of a crowd that wishes to pull us along with its currents. We are people who march by another drum beat. How to be a part of a culture in which you and I live, and yet be apart from it, is the continual tension under which a Christian lives. The 12th chapter of the book of Acts of Romans says this: Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, your sovereign King, in parenthesis. As an outpost of an eternal kingdom, we are not to succumb to the lifestyle in which we find ourselves. The pessimism, if it be, the cynicism, the opportunism, the selfishness of the people among whom we dwell. We are to be the leaven of the loaf. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to let our lives so shine before the inhabitants of the land that they may see our good works and glorify the sovereign King who has sent us, whose subjects we are. We are the citizenry of an all-powerful God who is aware of our activity as colonizers. God is aware of our plight, a God who allows us to have plight, but plight that will eventuate in good, because good is what God allows us to experience. All things do work together for good to those who love God. A sovereign God who promises that in life or in death, he will be able to abide with us and our eternal abode will be with him. Jesus is the initial colonizer. As God has sent him, so he sends us. And as Jesus, in his faithfulness to the kingdom he proclaimed, was the first fruit, the first indicator of those who are raised from the dead, so we too, in our faithfulness to our King and to the kingdom we represent, will rise from the dead also. The hope of the Christian, made like him we rise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today. He is risen indeed. Let us turn to our hymn.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah.
Again. may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.